G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 11A.
Well, we finished yesterday with B2, Roman 2, the holistic method of investigating science, namely with the Christ science. And we have seen that Mrs. Eddy is presenting a different concept of science than what the old scientists or what old science presented in the last century, that she was in so far in advance of the age and has already built her science on the new concept of science of the 20th century, or let's say on the 21st and 2nd century of our age. And that has been brought forth very clearly in her writing, where she defined science in two ways. In one way, she said, divinely defined, science is the atmosphere of God. And we said, for the beginning, we couldn't make much out of it. It had much too much an emotional sense in it, a sentiment sense in it, but not so much a strict scientific sense in it. So that she gave also a second definition, a definition which was called humanly constructed. And you could see that humanly constructed would be much more be adapted to the old science, and she gave the old definition of science, on which we were building for quite a while without really noticing it properly or consciously, that we were slowly going over from an old sense of science into the new sense of science, which is much more the atmosphere of God. And this subject I would like to describe now today, how that transition just went on, rather unnoticed by us also, because we just have taken in a natural way what Mrs. Eddy was teaching, have accepted it as true, because we felt what she was saying was the truth and proved it to be true, but without perhaps noticing consciously that we were touching on something quite new, that is perhaps the field of activity of the scientists in the world of the next 2 centuries or so. I'm not a prophet, I can't say if it takes 50 years or 100 years or 200 years, but at least one can see the direction in which science goes. And we have seen that Mrs. Eddy must have seen this great difference without really spelling it out in detail, because she said when she gave those 2 various definitions of science, that she said that we should really see that we are voicing the higher order of science. She knew in her heart that she was giving a higher order of science than the old science, and was calling on us, do we stand for it? Do we really put everything into it in order to bring it out? So we have considered yesterday those criteria that make up a holistic science. And I just want to recapitulate it before I go on to B3. I just want to recapitulate. I have recapitulated already a few times, but I take the risk that I'm criticized for being slow in advancing the subject, of repeating the same thing over again, which one already knows. That's my method of how I think at home, that I go over and over the same old thing and see the same old thing new. That's my method. I'm not trying to say I have now seen all that old stuff. Now let's go get rid of it and let's try to find something new. Because I believe in the inner dynamics of a science, in the self-creative nature of a science. And that means that one goes over what one already has accomplished or has got hold of as secure basis and goes over it and over it, not in a repetitive way, not in a parrot-like way, but always in that sense of asking, is that really so? Is that really foolproof? Isn't there somewhere a leak? Isn't there somewhere a anomaly? And so to think over the acquired knowledge until suddenly something new begins to spring up in one's consciousness. The seed begins to grow, and that is the way how a new idea should come to our consciousness. So I go over what I have been saying yesterday, and let's just do it not with our brain and with our thinking, just let's do it with an inward heart full gratitude and with a kind of awe before the new concept of science, so that we really know consciously what we are really engaged in when we study the Christian Science textbook or the Bible in its scientific structure. So we have seen that as every other science, we first must go out from the elements that constitute the subject under investigation. And we have seen the elements are ideas. These are our so-called building blocks of reality. But we have not only seen that there are ideas, and that ideas are something different than other building blocks like chemical elements or like atoms or like cells, but that they are holistic. That for the first time science is built on holistic elements, because ideas are ideas of God. Therefore, because they are one with God, they are holistic. Therefore, each idea reflects always qualitatively the whole of God. That's why they are holistic. Every idea reflects mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. Every idea reflects the Word, the Christ, Christianity and science. Every idea reflects science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, Christian science. So every idea is an idea of the whole. It's not just a fragment of the whole. And in this way, we begin to feel the bigness of it. We know that in practice, that in daily life, that if we engage our consciousness with ideas, that we have to be careful that we are not applying these ideas metaphysically, but as a science, meaning that we always see whatever the idea is, no matter how specific the idea is, that that idea is always closed with the seven and the four and the four, and has therefore the authority and the power of the seven and the four and the four. So every time we touch an idea, if we touch the idea of power, we touch the idea of the infinite power. Every time we touch the idea of power, we touch the foreside of the holy city, where we know this is not just a statement, it has a Christ, it's an idea that is operative, an idea that does have an effect, a Christianity, and an idea that does exist in being and has the nature of being. so that we know that every time we touch the idea of power, for instance, that it is the power of the level of science, as the power, therefore, of the divine mind itself, that idea of power in the realm of divine science dwells in the whole realm of the real, and not just somewhere at some place, but in the whole realm of the real. And we know that that idea of power on the level of absolute Christian science is a power that always expresses it in specific ideas of power, so that it has all the various characteristics of power, be it attraction, be it cohesion, attraction, be it power of healing, be it the power of revelation. It always has specific ideas of power within itself. And so also power as an idea will always reflect Christian science and will be always the power that overcomes any Ohnmacht, what is the counterfeit of power? Ohnmacht, you know. What is the counterfeit of power? Impotence, Yeah. Okay. You see, so it has always that power that can overcome its counterfeit. Can you see how different it is when we use an idea only in a metaphysical way, where we think about an idea, compared with the holistic sense of idea, where we see that it is an idea of the seven and the four and the four all at once, all at once. All right, so we had as our element, we had ideas. Now then, we could see that these ideas, in order to be understood much better, that they must be classified, that we have categories of ideas. And we have seen that Mrs. Eddy had done that enormous job. It's a job of a genius, namely to see that all these ideas of being can be categorized in three main big categories, which under categories. The main big categories, the seven synonymous term, illustrating the nature of God, the category of the four side of the holy city, illustrating the operational sense of God, and the third category, as we know, the dimensional sense of science as a third category. Naturally, then we have seen the subcategories of the synonymous terms, and they have seen that that first category has subcategories, namely the category of mind. And so we could put ideas into the subcategory of mind. We could put other ideas in the subcategory of spirit or of soul or subcategory of principle or life, truth, and love. We could see that there is not only the main category of the word, but also that there are subcategories of the word, of the Christ, of Christianity and science, and that there are subcategories of the levels like science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. So that we get a categorization and classification of those categories. And the more we see these categorization and classification, the more we get a holistic system, because that system is nothing else but take holistic categories and combine them to a system, so that the outcome of that combination of holistic categories must also be a holistic system. And so the chart as we know them, or the model of being as we called it also, shows us the one and only holistic system, which is underlying the whole Bible, is underlying the whole textbook. And so we see that we have just to see that one fundamental underlying system. Naturally, that system later on can be seen as the system of mind, the system of spirit, of soul, of principle, life, truth, and love. It can be seen as the system of the Word, of the Christ, of Christianity and science. And in this way, we begin to see that system in structures. The moment we accentuate one point in a system and see the whole system from one vantage point, we actually get a new picture, a new pattern, and that is what we call a structure. So all restructuring of the system is bringing forth holistic structures, no matter how individual a structure looks like. Be it the structure of a matrix, of the 4x4 matrix, be it the structure of the 4x4 matrix from the point of view of the Word or of the Christ like the prophets, or from the point of view of Christianity like the epistles, or from the point of view of Christian science like the 16 chapters in the textbook. Every time we get a new structure, and yet underlying is always the same system. Can you now see the difference between system and structure? A structure is nothing else but the system, but seen from very different angles. Or you could say, the moment we accentuate a part of the system and look at the system from that accentuation, we have a structure, and therefore, as they are in the system, many aspects or many accentuations possible, therefore we know that there are many individual structures that we can build up. And that's what we have been doing over the last, I would say now, nearly 40 years. Starting with John Dorley's matrix, then with the matrix of the textbook, then we saw the matrix of the prophets, then we saw the matrix of the epistles, later we saw the matrix of mind, and the matrix of spirit, the matrix of soul, and principle, life, truth, and love. Can you see that in the course of the evolution of the holistic idea of science, we really also could see how one holistic structure evolved out of that holistic system. So we are really dealing now in our consciousness always with the whole, no matter from which angle we look at the world or from which angle we look at a specific problem that we have to deal with. It will always be a holistic sense if we look at it from that standpoint. If we don't drop away from the holistic sense and drop right down, really, to metaphysics, there we get fragmentation. Then we have seen how these structures have various levels, that it is inbuilt in the system of structural, that it creates new structures, just like we have seen with the atoms, and then molecules, and cells, and organs, and organism, body, and so on, that always higher structures are being brought out. Higher structures are actually nothing else but that a system develops in more complexity and therefore always has a drive to optimize itself, to get more complex but not more complicated, but more complex, so that really reality becomes more colorful. If it would always be the same, we would get bored with our life. And being wouldn't be very, very joyful, wouldn't be so various, so colorful. It would become boring. So science has its own life. You see, we think always that science is something that is just a concept that is static and that it is what it is. We never see science as something that is living. Science has life within itself. It has creative ability within itself. We only think a plant has creative ability, or a dog or human beings have live and have creative ability. That's not true. Life is holistic. Therefore, everything that has to do with that one whole has life within itself. Therefore, also science is a living science. And by a living science, I have to be careful what I want to convey. It is not the science that we live. That we can also do. But that's not really very important. It's right that we do that. Perhaps I didn't express that good enough. It could be misunderstood. And I say that that is not important. Naturally, it is important. But I want to say this is not really that which is of highest concern to us. Of a higher concern to us is to see that science itself is life, that it has life in itself, which means that it is able to evolve. That's life. That science itself is not something static and that it needs people to change it. Science changes itself and has an impact on people so that people are forced to change their concept of science. That's the way it happens. It is not so that here and there suddenly a genius comes up and says, now I'm going to change the concept of science. That's not the way it happens. It's the other way around, that science has an idea within itself, that science has its own dynamic within itself, that science has its own life within itself, and this is the Christ, the sense of science, and therefore forces humanity to change their false or antiquated concept of science into seeing a new concept of science. Can you see the very difference in the dynamic of it? Yeah? That's nice. Huh? Yes. So let's drop that old sense that always men have to do something, that we have to be that dumb man that puts every 10 minutes water on the regulator. That regulator works by itself. We don't have to do anything to it and put water on the regulator, as Mrs. Eddy said yesterday. Anyway, as I read it yesterday, what Mrs. Eddy said. Yeah. So from there, we can see that the idea of science in its own dynamics brings forth a dimensional sense. Well, that dimensional sense naturally has always been latent in the thought of the thinkers over many thousand years, but they never really could see the total answer as we see it today. That today only, say, with the 60s, people began to realize that they have to take into consideration what they call dimensionalism. Before, they were not thinking so much about it. There were always philosophers that naturally could see that there are various dimensions. It's obvious to the human thinking. But it's actually also during World War II, Niklas Hartmann, he was very hot on seeing that being is dimensional, that there are various dimensions, that there are laws of interdependence in ontology, that each level had its own laws. He already began to see something of that. But actually, in a scientific way, it began to become more potent and more recognized only lately, in the 1960s. You see, we are talking about very recent history and see that mankind has a long, long history, and that today it is as if everything would focusing suddenly on one point, to the one point of a holistic science, which naturally means that all the necessary criteria of science had to come alive. And it is as if this century had the office, the job, the assignment, so to say, to bring in the next millennium, to give a transitional period which prepares thought for the next millennium, which is certainly divine science or holistic science. Having seen dimensionalism and having seen that we have various levels of consciousness or of science, and having seen that they must be holistic, that brought the idea that they all are working together in one. And that working together gave to a dimensional sense a dynamic sense, so that there is a dynamic in the dimensional sense, which brings us to the cybernetic concept of science. And so we could see that cybernetic sense of science uses, as we'll see later when I take more time for it, uses all the four levels of science in order to bring forth through the feedback mechanism an ever higher evolution in being. That dynamics has a one-directional goal. It is not blind to the future. Cybernetics is not blind to the future. It means that it has a high goal and never lets go of that high goal. That it operates so that the high goal is achieved or is reached. And that high goal in holism is holism. Holism producing holism. And therefore is showing that the aim of that new science is oneness, allness, that all will be one. So that we saw yesterday this desire for wholeness and oneness that the human mind has within itself is actually not original. It's only the reflection of being itself, of the holistic being itself, that has an inbuilt goal, namely to be whole, and to act so that everything is focusing to that one goal, to bring out the allness of being and the wholeness of being.